This is Twit.
Google I.O. is but a distant memory. But one thing that I got to admit bummed me out a little bit this year was a distinct lack of Google's ATAP, also known as Advanced Technologies and Products Group, one of my favorite parts of Google I.O., at least a few years running anyways. Joining us to talk about how the group is changing is Steve Kovac from Business Insider. How's it going, Steve?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you back. So you wrote this article last week. I read it actually heading into Google I.O., and it confirmed my own suspicions about I.O. probably being ATAP-less. There was none of that on the agenda. Super happy to see the article is getting a little love today on TechMeme. What happened to the band of pirates? What kept them from I.O. this year?
Yeah, it was interesting. So I spent a couple of weeks talking to current and former employees in the division, and it's really interesting to see how a lot of wind got sucked out of the division after Regina Dugan, who founded it with this very interesting premise that it could be like this DARPA-like research center within Google, semi-autonomous from the rest of Google. But after she left, it became just another division of the hardware group under Rick Osterloh. And instead of doing crazy pie in the sky, piratey things, they're more focused on let's make stuff that can ship. And or if it doesn't ship as a standalone product, can be or help inform like the main hardware, consumer hardware roadmap.
What does it say about a department in a company like Google that a single person, Regina Dugan, which, I mean, she had incredible influence over this department, obviously, and she brought a lot of excitement along with it. If you ever saw those I.O. Talks that she was heading, tons of excitement. And that was part of the reason why it was so much fun to be there. You felt like you were being let in on this really cool secret. What does it say about a department at Google that is, I mean, so characterized by a single person that once that person leaves, it seems to kind of dissolve and fall a little bit apart as a result?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily falling apart. I mean, they're continuing to work on stuff. The Project Jacker, the jacket that mm-hmm. you can control your smartphone with, that's supposedly going to ship later this year. But, you know, they've really changed focus since she left. And she was a figurehead and she was well-loved. A lot of when she left for Facebook's Building 8, a lot of top executives within ATAP followed her because they believed in her vision. And you can just look at the roster of people who followed her. They're literally recreating ATAP at Building 8. So, yeah, without her, she was the lifeblood of that division. And so it knocked a lot of the wind out of it.
So you and describe them as a band of pirates, the ATAP.
They describe themselves as that.
Right. But not anymore, right? So sad, because you say right. They're lowering the pirate flag, which is just like the saddest thing. How much of this is tied up into the failure of Project Ara, like the modular smartphone that was, so many people were so excited about, and just, after Dugan left and so many things fell apart, and now we'll never see it?
Well, I don't think it was tied necessarily just to Ara. There are a lot of factors here you got to keep in mind. Now, Ara was a project that was super close to launching. I mean, it was end of last summer that, had marketing materials ready. They kept talking about it. And then before you know it, about a month before the Pixel hits, they scrapped the project. And that was a bold move because there was a lot of money tied up in it. They had hundreds of people working on this project, and the fact that they killed it, a lot of people are seeing this as Rick Osterloh's influence, that he didn't want it sucking the wind out of what's going on with the Pixel and the more mainstream products. And so let's put more wood behind fewer arrows, as one source put it to me, and really focus on the Pixel line of phones and kind of cast Ara aside. They learned a lot working on Ara. They can, put that into use in the future and future products. But to have two phones come out at around the same time just doesn't make sense when they're really trying to build this mainstream hardware division.
Yeah, that's a really good point. If they really wanted to put their effort behind the Pixel and make Pixel successful, which they're still in the process of. I mean, Pixel is a great phone and has done reasonably well, I would say. It's actually pretty hard to secure if you're trying to buy one regularly. They're out of stock. Who knows if that's planned or not, but whatever. But if that's your goal is to make sure that performs well, clouding the marketplace with another effort, probably not the best way to go. But like you said, man, they were so close to release.
Yeah.
They were saying all along that, you know, Project Aura, yes, it's meant for the mainstream. This is going to be the way people do their phones in the future. I don't know if I ever bought it, but I feel like it was indicative of why ATAP exists, to do weird things like this and then hopefully end up bringing it to market.
Yeah, and one cool thing I learned about Aura was the, you know, building block like phone that we saw in all those demos. That was just phase one. One person told me who was working on the project, phase two, they had a more mainstream looking phone that could also have modules. And, you know, it looked more like a mainstream premium phone, a la like the iPhone or Samsung Galaxy S8, that would have a more mainstream appeal, because, you know, mom and dad aren't going to go buy this weird Lego block looking thing. So it was clear that even their roadmap kind of conflicted with what they wanted to do with the Pixel line.
A lot of the criticism of Google I.O. was like, oh, we didn't really see anything. There was not, you know, some people said, like, Google is boring now. And, you know, there was nothing tangible. But there was a lot of really interesting artificial intelligence announcements. There was a lot of, you know, talk about data. And what do you think that has to do with it? I mean, because that's something that isn't tangible. It's hard for people to wrap their minds around it. Unless you talk about, like, AlphaGo, like beating, you know, the Go champion. It's hard for us to really understand, even technical people, what all of that artificial intelligence stuff means.
Yeah, there are two ways to look at it. If you look at the hardware division now, I feel like a lot of their efforts there are just more ways to get that Google Assistant and Google AI into people's hands and do it the way Google wants it to be done. And at the same time, a lot of the stuff that we saw, actually, I just put this story up on Business Insider, my analysis of what happened last week. I think they're getting a little ahead of themselves. You know, they keep saying, you know, one of their big themes of the entire show, they even put a slide up about this saying, we're going from a mobile first to an AI first company. I think it's a little too early for that. A lot of the demos they showed were, you know, voice control and AI trying to mimic the functions of what you do on a smartphone, and just didn't make sense. Like, they did that Panera Bread demo where you order a Panera sandwich just by talking. And I think Ben Thompson of Stratechery, he put it really well. He was like, why would I spend 60 seconds doing something with my voice when I can spend 20 seconds doing it, you know, just tapping on a smartphone? So I think they're still trying to figure out, like, how to platformize AI and really make this something that people want to build into, and trying to recreate what you already do better on a smartphone or a computer, you know, something with a screen. They're still trying to figure that out. There are a lot of things AI makes sense for and voice control makes sense for. You know, what's the weather, what's the news, you know, audio cues like that. But when it comes to, like, the chatbot-like stuff, it's clear that it's just not a better experience in your smartphone. And this quest to, like, kill the smartphone is not going to happen from the AI that we're seeing today.
Yeah, everybody wants to be there from the beginning, be it autonomous vehicles, be it artificial intelligence. It really seemed from I.O. that what Google was doing was, it felt like they were laying the foundation to be the platform that everybody uses for AI when AI is, you know, so, you know, is a part of everybody's tool set. And they're starting to kind of open that up now. But I think you're right in the sense that they might be a little bit ahead of that curve, but they got to be there early on in order to prove, you know, that they are the ones to help people do that. As far as ATAP is concerned, what do we know of any kind of products that are kind of in the works right now that would qualify, that maybe we would have seen on the stage had there been any sort of unveiling?
Yeah, there's one thing I heard of, and it's hard to describe because it wasn't described very well to me by a couple of people who knew about it, but it's basically a smartphone without a screen. That was kind of how it was described to me. And it's based on this theory of effective computing where you use more emotions and other signals to control a gadget or receive information from a gadget. That's about as detailed as I got it. And you got to keep in mind that this project, it's probably been in the works since Regina was still there. And it's very light. It doesn't sound like what an ATAP in 2017 would be working on. So there was some skepticism about it. One person said, oh, it's like this handheld device. It's like something you'd see on Kickstarter, which didn't really sound like a re-endorsement. So, you know, it sounds like they're really being, you know, corporatized and becoming part of the larger Google machine, which you've seen across all of Google and seen across all of Alphabet, really reining in expenses, really making sure there's not a lot of overlap in projects and making sure everyone across multiple divisions are on the same page. And, you know, the true spirit of what ATAP was originally founded to be is being hurt by that.
Yeah, and now, of course, you have Regina Dugan over at Facebook doing similar thing there, like you had said. She spoke at the F8 conference not too long ago. What did she talk about there? She at least spoke a little bit about some projects they're working on over there.
Yeah, and she gave her vision for some. It was the kind of speech you would have expected to see at I.O. this year, right? It was talking about using your brain to type or using your skin to hear, you know, just really pie in the sky stuff, like crazy communication without like actually talking or typing, just like basically using your mind to compute. And that's the kind of thing you would have expected to come out of ATAP and the kind of thing you would have expected ATAP employees and contractors to be working on. But she's basically cloned ATAP over at Facebook and doing it at Building 8. And they're also working on other stuff like drone technology and more near-term stuff like AR glasses and things like that, that they can release, you know, within the next 5 or 10 years. But it's just kind of unfortunate that it's unfortunate for Google, rather, that it's happening at Facebook and not at Google.
Yeah, you know, now the more I think about it, the more I totally feel what you were saying, Megan, as far as AI, because a few years ago, it's not like AI is a new thing, but it's certainly something that is being capitalized on right now and being realized, the power and the strengths of what neural networks can do for our technology. 2 or 3 years ago at an ATAP, you could totally see them proposing a lot of the things that we're seeing as just like mainstream, you know, components of normal technology today. And maybe that's why the shift, because our technology in some ways has caught up to kind of the mystery and the potential of the future of technology that we would have seen a couple of years in ATAP. It's all converging, I suppose. So
And you got to ask yourself realistically, do you see something like Jackard becoming a mainstream mass consumer product? Probably not. It's more of an experiment.
Yeah.
And so they're really being tasked with finding stuff that can become more mainstream.
Yeah.
I'm still upset that because they promised smart pants, but really they came out with a smart jacket. So
you never know. Next year, if Jackard continues. Mm-hmm.